Maud was 4 months later than usual. Normally, her travel plans for the summer were sorted out by January, but this year she still hadn't made up her mind where to go. It was probably because of her age. Not that she suffered from any mental or physical frailty, quite the reverse. She had visited the local clinic about a month ago to ask for some medication for a mild bout of conjunctivitis. The young doctor, who didn't even look old enough to have graduated from high school, pointed out with amazement that it had been 16 years since her last visit, and on that occasion she had gone for an anti-jaundice vaccination that was supposed to provide a long-lasting protection. She had assured the doctor several times that she felt absolutely fine. In spite of her protests, he insisted on giving her a thorough examination and instructed the nurse to take blood samples, a complete waste of time. She was fit as a fiddle, she kept telling him, although she had to admit that the ointment the young doctor prescribed had cleared up the problem with her eye. No, the reason why she still hadn't firmed up her travel plans was she had already been virtually all over the world. She had visited the pyramids in Egypt, clambered up an Incan temple in the Andes, floated like a cork in the Dead Sea, and walked along the Great Wall of China. She'd even been to Greenland and the South Pole, and she had already seen and experienced everything that was worth seeing and experiencing. During the last 15 years of her teaching career, she had traveled the globe during her summer vacations. After her retirement, she had spent the whole year visiting different places, spending only short periods at home. She had a lot of catching up to do. After the death of her parents, she had been left to take care of her mentally ill sister. Only after Charlotte's death almost 40 years ago had it become possible for Maud to get away. Maud had just started college when her father died. She often thought that the period before his death had been the happiest in her life, not least because she had just gotten engaged. On her 18th birthday, her engagement to Lieutenant Gustav Aldeso was announced, and she remembered floating on a little cloud of pure joy, mainly because she was going to marry Gustav, whom she really did believe that she loved. However, almost equally compelling to Maud was the thought of getting away from her over-anxious mother and her fragile sister. Charlotte had been 11 years older than Maud. As time went by, she developed a range of phobias and a debilitating hypochondria that eventually took over her life. No man had ever proposed to her, and her parents realized it was never going to happen. Therefore, they were very pleased Maud was going to marry a young man from a good family. Shortly after her father's death, Gustav had sent a letter in which he broke off the engagement in no uncertain terms. Maud didn't doubt for a moment that his mother and father were behind the painful words. It was well known that the Aldeso family were of noble descent, even though their fortune had diminished significantly over the past two decades, which coincided with when Gustav's father had been the head of the family. He had no skill with either goods or money, not that he would ever admit it, and he continued with his extravagant lifestyle, treating other people with condescension. The only reason why Gustav's parents had accepted his engagement to Maud was they believed her father was rich. When his death revealed that he was bankrupt, that was a good enough reason to break off the engagement immediately, according to Gustav's parents. Of course, Maud had cried a great deal during the days after the letter arrived, but it wasn't really because of a broken heart. Her greatest disappointment was that she wasn't going to be able to leave home. 1 week later, Hitler's troops marched into Poland and the Second World War broke out. Maud soon had more serious problems to deal with than a broken engagement. Her mother was utterly devastated by the sudden death of Maud's father and by the realization that there was no money. She stayed in bed all day, refusing to get up. During the first 2 months of the war, she began to fade away, and 2 years later, she was dead. The previous year, Maud had completed her training and managed to get a job at a local all-girls high school. She took on all the overtime available in order to provide for herself, her mother, and her sister. Things got a little easier after her mother passed away, particularly as Maud managed to use her mother's ration card and coupons for a full 12 months after her death. On several occasions during the war and the years that followed, Maud had suggested to her sister that they should take in one or more tenants, since they certainly had the room to do so. Every time, Charlotte became terribly upset. She would walk around the desolate rooms, whimpering and wringing her hands. "I can't cope with strangers. I don't want strangers living here. I'd just die if you bring strangers into my home," she would sob in despair. Sometimes she would work herself into a paroxysm of hysteria. Afterwards, she always wanted more pills than her doctor had prescribed, and Maud would try to resist. However, she didn't always have the strength. It was lovely and peaceful when her sister was asleep. That was the only time Maud had to herself these days. Traveling was out of the question. Charlotte never set foot outside the door. Over all the years that Maud had overseen their joint finances, she had deposited the whole of her sister's sickness benefit into a special bank account. As time went by, it had grown into a tiny little sum, and after Charlotte's death, Maud also rented out three of the rooms in the spacious apartment and turned her sister's room into a small kitchen diner for the use of the residents, who also shared the biggest bathroom. She saved the rent, thinking that it would provide a decent pension eventually. It had now been 25 years since Maud had retired and stopped taking on tenants, and she had visited most of the countries in the world, and she had no idea where she wanted to go this summer. India was too hot, Nice too noisy, while the air quality was very poor in both Paris and New York. Bali, perhaps? Or maybe Sardinia, her favorite Mediterranean island? But she'd already been to these places several times. Was there somewhere new she hadn't thought of? She couldn't come up with anything. Maybe I'm getting a bit indecisive, she thought with a sigh. Maud was a seasoned tourist who traveled light. The feeling she got when she set off with a one-way plane ticket was wonderful. She usually followed the itinerary she had worked out in advance, but she rarely booked overnight accommodations or journeys between the places she wanted to visit. She found somewhere she liked, she could stay there for as long as she wished. It was quite lonely traveling that way, but it didn't bother her. It was the way she wanted it. No pointless chatter, no complaining. She made all her own decisions. Maud put some coffee on and went into the hallway to pick up the newspaper. She always read it while she was having her breakfast, more out of habit than anything. When she had finished the paper, she would switch on her laptop and spend a while surfing the net, where she would get a quick update on what was happening out there in the big wide world. These days, she usually found cheap flights online, too. Her laptop was indispensable. She had acquired it after the Silver Surfer's IT course she had taken 8 years prior. She had enrolled in Charlotte's name. When the course was over, they were supposed to hand in the laptops, but Maud had simply ignored the reminders. Eventually, a letter arrived threatening to take legal action. Only then did Maud send a brief reply. "Dear Tutor, I'm very sorry to inform you that my sister Charlotte unexpectedly passed away 3 years ago. I have not found a computer among her possessions. Yours sincerely, Maud." She used her ex-fiancé's noble surname in order to command greater respect, and it had obviously worked, because she received no more requests to return the laptop. Maud toasted two slices of bread and spread them with a thin layer of marmalade as usual. Then she placed slices of mature Gruyère cheese on top, boiled an egg for precisely 3 minutes. Her breakfast had been exactly the same for the last 40 years. Before that, it had been porridge every morning, because Charlotte wouldn't eat anything else. Maud stirred a little hot milk into the strong coffee and carried her tray into the TV room. With a contented sigh, she sank down into the big armchair that had belonged to her father. Slowly and methodically, she began to read the paper, starting from the first page, as she always did. The only part she skipped was the sports section. When she reached the family announcements page, her attention was caught by a headline. "It's never too late for love," says Gustav, 90, as he marries Jaja, 55. When she saw the picture of the smiling couple, her mind went completely blank. She couldn't process what the writing said. It couldn't be true. The man in the picture was her Gustav, and she knew exactly who the woman was, too. She took a few deep breaths in order to slow her racing pulse, and then she began to read. According to the article, after being a widower for 5 years, Gustav met the actress Zsa Hendricks in a Mediterranean cruise last fall. They got engaged on New Year's Eve, and now they were getting married the day before Whit Sunday. After the wedding, the happy couple is intending to move to the groom's family estate outside Sunne in Värmland. The wedding is to be celebrated at the Selma Spa. The exclusive hotel will take care of all the practical arrangements, leaving the bride and groom to enjoy their special day to the full together with friends and family. When she read those final sentences, Maud felt quite ill. This wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. She knew considerably more than the journalist who had written the article, and doubtless more than poor Gustav. She had discreetly followed Gustav's life over the years. He had married a wealthy girl from Värmland, so the family estate was hers, not his. They had had 2 children, but the boy tragically died from leukemia when he was only 10. The daughter trained to be a dentist and married a colleague. Maud knew that they had 3 children, all of whom were now grown up and had left the nest. She also knew that Gustav's daughter and her husband ran a dental practice together in Torsby. They lived on the estate. Gustav and his now late wife had moved away 10 years ago when she fell ill, but obviously he and his wife-to-be were planning to take it back. Maud knew his fiancée all too well, and she had no doubt who was behind that decision. Zsa Zsa Hendrix was called Siv Hansen back in the days when Maud was her teacher, and even then Maud thought she was a full-fledged trollop. She frequently played truant and didn't give a damn about her schoolwork, nor did she care much when she was reprimanded. She also belonged to the gang that sneaked off for smokes during recess. Makeup, clothes, and boys were the only things that interested her. As a result, her grades were poor, but that didn't seem to bother her. When the school's career advisor asked her with some concern whether she had plans for the future, 15-year-old Siv had replied with absolute conviction, "I'm going to be an actress." Maud lost track of Siv for a few years, but one morning she had unexpectedly turned up in the newspaper. There was a big picture of her posing stark naked. Underneath the picture, it said that Siv, who had already changed her name to Zsa Zsa Hendrix, was a glamour model and the star of a Swedish softcore porn film that was soon to be released. The film was a flop. From then on, Maud had followed Siv from a distance, which was something she did with certain individuals. She felt it was worth keeping an eye on, for various reasons. The little laptop had proved extremely useful when it came to keeping abreast of what people were doing and saying, so she knew that Siv's film career had more or less died after that first film. During the next few years, she had played a few minor roles in a range of pornos, but had never become a big name. Sometimes Siv would turn up in the gossip columns, usually involved in some scandal or another. She had married a little-known film director, but they soon divorced after about 12 months. She had had a lot of different relationships, but no children. Maud went over to the bookcase and took out a file marked Students. She turned to the letter H in the index. Neatly stored in plastic wallets was every single article she had gathered from the internet and newspapers about Siv Hansen, alias Zsa Zsa Hendrix. She quickly skimmed through them and then resolutely picked up her cell phone. It was time to book her first trip of the summer. She had never actually visited a spa during her long life. Easter had been late this year, and therefore Whitson was late too. It was a warm, sunny day at the beginning of June when she arrived at the spa. A cab picked Maud up and two other guests at a train station. Her fellow passengers were a couple in their 60s who were obviously married. They didn't exchange a single word during the short drive to the hotel. Maud's luggage consisted of a suitcase and a sturdy stick with a rubber spike on the end. The stick had been leaning against the wall by the door of the clinic when she went to see the doctor about the problem with her eye. She had picked it up on the way out. You never know when something like this might come in handy, she had thought. The hotel was situated high on a hill and offered a fantastic view of Lake Fryken. The building was narrow, with a long facade. It had been specially designed so that every room looked out over the lake. Inside, everything was a little too modern for Maud's taste, but she had to admit that her room was very clean and pleasant. She had prudently booked a number of treatments in advance, a facial, massage, manicure, pedicure, and an herbal bath. She never tried any of them before, so it was probably time that she did. She spent the whole of Thursday afternoon going from one treatment to the next. She swam in the heated pool and relaxed in a sauna. She had forgotten her old swimsuit, but bought a new one at reception. She realized that water aerobics weren't for her. The big pool was extremely crowded, and people were jumping up and down like idiots, splashing water all over the place as they urged on by the brisk exhortations of an extremely fit instructor standing on the side, tightly encased in Lycra. Maud had booked the full board, so she made the most of the delicious food, and that night she enjoyed a deep and dreamless sleep in a lovely bed. Friday morning, she went for her final treatments, the manicure and pedicure. As she left the beautifully scented salon, her fingernails and toes shimmered in pale pink mother of pearl. Why in God's name have I never done this before? Maud thought. Dressed in a new white blouse and a dark blue pencil skirt, she made her entrance into the dining room, leaning on her stick just a little. In spite of the fact that she was prepared, she stopped dead and caught her breath when she saw Siv Hansen, now known as Zsa Zsa Hendrix, sitting at a table with a woman and a much older man. Maud's heart flipped over. The slightly stooped, bald-headed man was her Gustav. He was smartly dressed in light-colored pants and a blue blazer. As he raised his glass of white wine and a toast to his companions, she noticed that his thin hand was shaking. "We've gotten so old, you and I," she thought tenderly, but there was no good standing there getting sentimental. She had an important job to do, and it was time to focus. She went over to the splendid buffet and helped herself. She balanced her full plate carefully on her left hand, using her right to support herself with the stick. She reminded herself to limp. There was an empty seat at the table adjacent to Gustav and his ladies. Maud asked the people sitting there if she might join them, and they nodded and smiled. As they chatted amongst themselves, Maud gathered that they intended to have a little rest and allow their lunch to digest before the African dance class began at 2 o'clock. The spot she had chosen was perfect. She was free to observe Zsa Zsa and her friend. They were so alike that Maud began to suspect they were sisters. Both had medium-length, bleach-blonde hair. They were heavily made up, even if they weren't plastered with quite as much makeup as Siv had worn as a teenager. Her thin summer dress was extremely low-cut, revealing the valley between her ample breasts. Were they due to the generosity of nature? Hardly. More likely the work of a skilled cosmetic surgeon. His handiwork was also apparent in Zsa Zsa's facial features, which were considerably sharper and more well-defined than those of the woman Maud took to be her sister. Her face somehow seemed slack in the process of disintegrating. She was probably older than Zsa Zsa and couldn't afford a facelift, Maud thought. It was clear that the three people at the next table had already consumed several glasses of wine during lunch. They were in high spirits, laughing and proposing a series of toasts. Gustav's head started to nod, and the two women got to their feet. They helped him out of his chair, and with one woman on either side of him, Gustav left the dining room. Maud pretended not to notice them, but her heart beat a little faster when they walked past her table. None of them so much as glanced in her direction. She stayed on for a little while and had some dessert. On her way down to the lobby bar for a cup of coffee, she stopped by the front desk. The reception was busy checking in a large party that had arrived from a Norwegian tour bus, so Maud discreetly picked up a copy of the Expressen that was lying on the counter. That was partly because she wanted to glance through the day's news, and partly because a newspaper was useful to hide behind. She didn't have to wait long before the two women emerged from the elevator. Both had changed into white bathrobes and were carrying large towels. They shuffled over to the bar in their complimentary terry cloth slippers, laughing loudly at some joke. Zsa Zsa flirted with the young barman as she ordered two large, strong beers. Quietly, Ma got up from her armchair as the two women disappeared down the stairs to the pool. She took the elevator up to a room and quickly got changed. On her way out, she picked up the stick. Wearing her swimsuit, bathrobe, and slippers, she stepped back into the elevator and went down to the pool area, where she looked exactly like all the other guests. Zsa Zsa and the other woman were sitting in the changing room drinking their beers. From their conversation, Maud gathered that they were disappointed that neither of the jacuzzis next to the large swimming pool were free. Apparently, the plan had been to drink their beer while enjoying the bubbles. She also discovered that the other woman was named Kiki. Without looking at the two of them, Maud placed her bathrobe and slippers in the locker. She showered and adjusted her new swimsuit before slowly making her way towards the door leading to the pool area. She held the stick in a firm grasp and remembered to walk with a slight limp. She propped the stick against the wall and clambered down into the pleasantly warm water. She was swimming up and down the deserted pool at a steady pace when Zsa Zsa and Kiki emerged from the changing room. They leapt into the water, giggling and splashing around like little girls. They didn't do much in the way of swimming, but spent most of their time standing at the side gossiping. Maud picked up the odd sentence as she swam past. "His fucking daughter is coming tomorrow." "She's actually 7 years older than me," Zsa Zsa said with a meaningful smirk. Kiki screamed with laughter. "She must be fucking furious," she managed to gasp between bouts of hilarity. Maud had heard enough and climbed out of the water. She was so angry, she almost left her stick behind. Back in the changing room, she took a long shower. When she heard the raucous voices of the two women approaching the door, she quickly slipped into the sauna. It was spacious, with plenty of room for at least 20 people. Maud went right to the back and spread her towel on the bottom bench. She had taken the stick in with her. She sat down and tried to relax. After a little while, Zsa Zsa and Kiki came in. Neither of them took any notice of the dried-up old lady sitting in the back. Zsa Zsa snickered and said, "I'm going to make sure he falls asleep right after dinner. He's not up to much in the bedroom department, if you know what I mean." She winked, and they both burst out laughing again. "Brilliant! Then we can go down to the bar, or on out to the nightclub," Kiki snorted. "Poor Gustav. It's just as I suspected," Maud thought, but she didn't move a muscle in her corner. "I'll go get us a couple more beers," Zsa Zsa said. "That's what I like to hear," Kiki bellowed. Both women got to their feet, swaying slightly. For a moment, Maud was afraid they were going to go to the bar, but she was relieved to see that Kiki was merely rearranging her towel so she could lie down on her back. With a long sigh, she settled down on the bench. By the time the sauna door closed behind Zsa Zsa, Kiki was already snoring gently. Maud stood up cautiously and slid out the door. It was still lunchtime. The changing room was empty. Right next to the sauna was a small round pool full of ice-cold water no more than 6 feet in diameter. Maud tested the temperature with a toe and decided with a shudder that she wouldn't want to get in there. But perhaps it would fit in perfectly with her plan. She quickly ran through the scenario in her mind. This could be the chance she'd been waiting for. All she had to do now was make her preparations and wait for exactly the right moment. Maud went into the nearest shower cubicle, which was only a couple feet from the cold pool, and began gently soaping her body. She propped the stick against the wall within easy reach. A minute or so later, she heard the changing room door open. For a few terrifying seconds, she thought it might be someone other than Zsa Zsa, but when she cautiously peeped out, she saw that it was indeed her unsuspecting victim, carrying a large plastic cup of beer in each hand. She was concentrating hard on not spilling and didn't notice Maud's head, which quickly disappeared back into the shower. Maud gripped the stick firmly in both hands. When she could see the distorted outline of her victim through the opaque glass tiles, she prepared herself for the attack. Zsa Zsa was only a few steps away from the sauna door when Maud stepped out behind her. Before Zsa Zsa had time to turn around, the old woman whacked her hard on the hip with the rubber spike at the end of the stick. Because Zsa Zsa was holding the beers in her hands, she was unable to save herself as she fell, and her head hit the low edge surrounding the small pool with a horrible thud. She lay there with one arm and one leg dangling in the icy water. Maud quickly shoved the rest of the body into the pool, making sure it ended up face down. With the tip of the stick between her victim's shoulder blades, she kept Zsa Zsa underwater for several minutes. Only then did Maud remove the stick and begin to scream. "Help! Help! She must have tripped! Help!" Her cries echoed between the tiled walls, and after a little while, she heard someone moving inside the sauna. When Kiki, still half asleep, managed to get the door open and saw a naked old woman pointing at the cold water with her stick and yelling, "Grab hold of the stick! Here! Grab the stick!" Kiki staggered over to the round pool, and soon there were two of them shouting for help. Everything had gone exactly according to plan. Several members of the staff came rushing in when they heard the two women shrieking in the changing room. In the middle of all the confusion, a young girl took pity on the bewildered old woman who was sobbing by the edge of the pool, wrapped only in her towel. The girl gently led Maud to her locker and made sure she put on her bathrobe and slippers. Maud thanked the helpful young lady, who gave her a consoling pat on the cheek before returning to her duties. Maud grabbed the stick once more and limped back to the scene of the accident. Because it was indeed a tragic accident, everyone was agreed on that. Poor Zsa Zsa Henricks had lost her footing on the slippery floor and fallen into the ice-cold pool. She had been unlucky in the way she had fallen and struck her head on the edge, fracturing her skull. On the surface of the water, colored red by her blood, two beer cups bobbed up and down, clear evidence that her balance may have been impaired, especially if she had been dehydrated from the sauna. A man who introduced himself as head of security at the hotel came over to ask Maud if she could tell him how the accident had happened. She told him she had been in the shower and therefore hadn't seen the woman fall. "My hearing isn't very good, and I had soap in my eyes, and the shower was running, so I didn't hear anything, and maybe I sensed something, because suddenly I noticed her lying in the water, and, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I can't stop crying, that poor woman. She was just lying there in the water, and I couldn't help her, she wouldn't grab hold of the stick, and all that blood, that poor..." He patted her awkwardly on the arm, and left her alone. Gustav's daughter had come to pick him up a few hours after the death of his fiancée. He seemed confused, and his expression was blank. Maud suspected he was unlikely to pursue his plans to return to the estate. His daughter looked anything but upset. Maud stayed on for another 2 days. It might have taken her almost an entire lifetime to pay her first visit to a spa, but she knew it wouldn't be her last. She ate and drank very well. During the day, she went for long walks on the forest trail just outside the hotel. Every morning and evening, she went for a swim in the heated pool, and after an evening dip, she hit the sauna. Needless to say, she never gave Zsa Zsa a thought. Before long, it was time to go home, and Maud made her mind up about her summer vacation. She found a last-minute bargain trip to her beloved Sardinia on the internet. A cheap hotel was included for the first week, but it was the flight she was after. She knew several wonderful small boarding houses on the island and was pleased to discover that a new luxury spa hotel had been built by the sea just outside Porto Torres. She would be able to book a reservation for a few days if she felt like it. Perhaps she would stay right up to the end of September. Or maybe longer. Only time will tell, thought Maud.